Well, good morning, Potter's Fellowship. Hope all is well. This is our last Sunday that we will be doing home fellowships. So on July 5th, we will be back in church, barring any announcement from our state and local governments. I think we are on track to be in church on Sunday, July 5th. The way that we're doing this now is on, this will be obviously the Sunday that we meet together with our home fellowships. And for those who can't make it, obviously it's online, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing. And we will be studying Matthew chapter 8 this morning, Jesus healing the man with leprosy. And then next Wednesday, there will be another study in Matthew. However, we will not be having home fellowships next Wednesday. We're going to take a week off from home fellowships. Then we're going to have Sunday service on the 5th. And then on the 8th, we will continue with home fellowships. And there's been a reduction in home fellowships from 5, because that was the whole entire church, to just 3 home fellowships. And so it'll be my home, the Campbell's home, and Jim and Pam Brewster. So you will be getting an email that it's going to reassign you. If you were in Gracie's home fellowship or you were in Kirk Loban's home fellowship, you'll be reassigned between the 3. So hopefully that will take care of any confusion. And again, we'll be having services on Sunday, our normal 10 o'clock service, and then home fellowships on Wednesdays. I do not know when we are going to revisit having a midweek service. It may be a while. I would guess at least the rest of the year, until we get more of a handle on what's going to be expected of us on a week-to-week basis with service. So hopefully you remain patient and flexible. We're doing the best we can. The most important thing by far is our home fellowship connections, and I just really want to stress that. If you're assigned to a home fellowship, even if you can't make it, you need to find a way to really check in with your home fellowship leader and just make sure that you're accountable during this time. The reason being, guys, is that we, again, are just, if testing continues to go where it's going for the COVID and the results come back like they're, happening right now, I think we're looking at another shutdown. And so I say all that to say this: if there's a shutdown, I want to make sure that when church stops in the building, that it, you have a place to go on Sundays, which will be the home fellowship. And in that particular case, we would probably go back to the 5 home fellowships, or maybe even adding one. But hopefully, we're going to bounce along here and everything will be fine. So this morning, I want to talk to you about this this whole idea of Jesus healing this leper. And I think, a lot of times when we read through, being done with the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to get into parables, we're going to get into Jesus' accounts of healing, and it's going to be redundant. And so every healing that Jesus performs has a significance to it. In other words, it wasn't recorded in the Gospels for the sake of, Jesus healed this guy, Jesus healed that guy, healed this woman, healed that woman. There is a specific meaning behind each and every healing that is recorded in Scripture. I believe that's the way the writers intended it to be. I believe that's the way the Lord intended it to be. So just a background here. So in the Bible, the word leprosy is mentioned upwards of 40 times, depending upon the version being used. Leprosy, it was common in biblical times, and many references to it were understood by those who lived in those unsanitary conditions during those times. And the main reason why leprosy is talked about so much in the Bible is that it's a graphic illustration of what sin's destructive power is in our life, right? In ancient Israel, leprosy was a powerful object lesson to the people, and it was a debilitating influence on that person, just the way that sin is on that person's life. And so I think when we consider the parallels between having leprosy and having sin in our life, that there are many parallels. And I think that all of them need to be addressed and considered. And that's kind of what I want to do this morning. I think that what makes this miracle a little bit different in the impact that it had as I read this particular account was that I was just impressed with the obviously the leper and how he reached out and Jesus' response to that. I mean, it's a beautiful picture of somebody in need and addressing somebody who can meet that need. And I think that as we go through this, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as you read through this and we kind of consider the account, because I think that for a lot of us, that's where we are right now. We're in a place of need, right? Our whole life as we know it has been turned upside down. There are some people who your life has been turned upside down so much so that you are unemployed. You're not sure where the next paycheck is going to come from. Obviously, church life has changed. Maybe your inner circle in terms of fellowship or in terms of sociability has changed. Whether you see your kids or grandkids has changed. And it's just change, I guess, is the word. And sometimes, you know, as believers, we're not good with that. We're good with patterns. We're good with deep grooves. And we've definitely been called out of that. So without further ado, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, remember, he's on the Sermon on the Mount, large crowds followed him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So let's go through some observations. First of all, the large crowd that we see is a result of the fact that Jesus spoke with authority. The last verses of the Sermon on the Mount was how blown away people were that Jesus spoke with authority. And I say that because I think that in this particular climate that we're in right now, we are looking for a voice of authority, right? We have the voice of rebellion. We have the voice of trying to figure out where this disease is going to go and how to solve racism. And there's some serious issues of the day. However, where is the voice of authority? And the reason why I say that is, you know, these people were not used to a leader speaking to them the way Jesus spoke to them. And so when you consider that he had this voice of authority and you think, okay, this isn't a time and place where the people needed to hear that. And now we're in a time and place where the people need to hear that again. And the Bible says that we shall know the truth, right? And the truth shall make us free. We obviously have that truth. We need to be able to share it. But I just wanted to pay a close attention to the fact that this large crowd was going to remain with Jesus because of the fact that he was speaking truth to them, and not only truth, but with authority. So I want you to notice for the second thing here is the faith of this leper, right? So he was way out of his element. There was restrictions that leopards had that in terms of what they were permitted to do in public and what they were not permitted to do. So if it were necessary for him to be in a public place, he had to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." There's a scripture that speaks to that. But he just walks up to Jesus and he kneels before him, which is a beautiful picture because it's significant to, the place of honor that Jesus held in this man's heart, and worship and humiliation, really. He just sort of humbles himself before him and bows down. And he says, "If you are willing." Now, the beautiful thing with this statement is, you know, the man was willing to be clean. There's no question about that. And Jesus hears this request, and the request is, "Make me clean." It's not, "Jesus, I want you to heal me." And that's an interesting fact there. And I want to make sure that we sort of marinate in that for a little while. Only Jesus can make you clean. And that's what this man was saying. You can, if you are willing, you can do it. Then I want to be clean. And it being clean and being healed are two separate things here. So let's look at the response that Jesus gives. The first thing he does is he touches the man. We're going to go on and talk about that because that was probably something that might be confusing with those of you that have studied the book of Leviticus, because we know that is a violation of scripture, right? And he spoke and commanded for the man to be clean. And I want to just pay close attention to that too, because you guys, whatever came out of Jesus's mouth was a command, right? When the same authority that he calmed the storm, "Peace, be still," right? And the storm calmed down, was the same authority that he said, "Oh, you're clean." And the man was clean. So Jesus then gives him he does uphold the law, when he says, I want you to testify only to the priest. In other words, I don't want you running around telling everybody about this miracle. I don't know why Jesus bothered saying that, because he knew that they were going to do that. But I want you to offer the sacrifice that's required in Scripture, and I want you to have the healing confirmed by the priesthood. So that's sort of what we have for observations. Going deeper this morning, I want to talk a little bit about the life of an outcast, because that's really what this was. This was more than just a man with a disease. This was a man with a disease that had to be kept from other people. And this is really applicable now, right? We're talking about people getting the COVID virus and they have to be quarantined alone for 14 days. We're talking about people in our nation, 120,000 people. At least half of those people died alone in hospital rooms or in emergency rooms. They died alone. Why? Because they were outcasts. They were quarantined. They had to be left alone for fear that their disease might be transmitted, right? So God had given the Israelites a very specific instruction as to how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections in Leviticus 13. Anyone suspected of having this disease had to go to the priest for an examination, Leviticus 13, 2 through 3. And if found to be infected, this is what the book of Leviticus says in chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp. Wow. The leper then was, you know, considered utterly unclean, obviously, both physically and spiritually. And we're going to develop that a little bit more. But what I want to do here is I want to just paint this picture, right, of this person that is completely frustrated in their disease. It'd be one thing if you're dying or you're struggling, but you're doing that with people. I found that, you know, when I went through cancer, I was never alone. My room at Kaiser was, you know, my family kind of took up residence there. They brought pictures from home and drew pictures. And I think the times that I was actually alone in that room were very, very, very minuscule compared to the times that at least one person was with me. Most of my children spent the night right by my bedside for the week and a half that I was in there. And I was, you know, that made the blow of realizing that you have a 50-50 shot of living or dying. It made that blow a lot easier when you were not alone. If you're alone, you tend to think, you tend to chew on things and consider things. But when you're there, present with somebody else, it's just a lot easier. And so I think that this person, they're coming from a place of complete separation. They're coming from a place of frustration and being overwhelmed and being alone and being fearful and being afraid, right? And this man comes and he just lays himself down in front of Jesus and says, look, if you're willing, make me clean, right? And that kind of thing did not just happen. I think this man knew where Jesus was. I think that he had heard that he was going to be in the area. And I think that he had a purpose for being in front of him. So the second thing here is the ignorance associated with disease. Now, leprosy is at the time was incurable by man, but many believed that God infected the curse of leprosy upon people for their sins that they committed, right? They automatically assumed that leprosy was a form of judgment. And you know, guys, we're not too far from that today. I've been a Christian for, I don't know, probably 35 years. And when my brother got saved, we went to a church, and the church that we were going to, my brother had epilepsy, and there were people in that church that believed that epilepsy was a form of demon harassment, right? And, you know, there was a physical manifestation why my brother had leprosy. He had two blood vessels in his brain that grew together, and it's ultimately what he ended up dying of, but, you know, at age 24. But the reality was that they looked at this as, oh, you have this sickness or this disease, it must be because there's sin, right? And that's just not the case. We have sickness, we have disease, we have sin because of the fallen nature of mankind. So, in fact, those, you know, with leprosy were despised and loathed by the people, and they were not allowed to live in a community with other people. And Numbers chapter 5 verse 2 supports that. Among the 61 defilements of the Jewish laws, leprosy was second only to a dead body in terms of being serious. You could not touch a dead body, period, right? And there are reasons for that. A leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human, including his own family. 6 feet. That's just an amazing thing, right? Isn't that what they're asking us to do now? Social distance at 6 feet, and you don't think that that's going to have an effect on mankind? You don't think that's going to have an effect on people who need to be hugged, to be loved, to be touched? Now, I'd be honest with you, this 6 feet doesn't bother me at all because I'm not that kind of person. However, I live in a home where most of the people are not like me, and 6 feet is just not acceptable, right? So the disease was considered so revolting that a leper wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet of someone if the wind was blowing, right? Can you imagine that? A windy day and you had to be 150 feet away. That's just amazing. Lepers lived in a community with other leopards until they either got better or they died. Not much hope there. And this was only a way, the people knew to handle the spread of this form of disease. I think when we look back at COVID years down the road, we're going to see a lot of mistakes that we've made. I think that there was a way to protect the people that were at risk and give freedom to those who not only could handle getting the disease, but probably needed to get it to get some sort of immunity to it. But that's a story for another day, and I'll try not to straddle the political divide here. So the next thing that I see in terms of going deeper, obviously one was the life of an outcast. The second point was this ignorance associated with the disease. The third is the link between leprosy and sin and how people in those days made that leap, right? So the Bible records the story of a leper, and it's in this particular passage in which we read. And the key lesson here to be learned from this incident is sin defiles us in the sight of God. It does. God is a just God. He has to judge sin, right? But through Christ, we can be healed of that plague of sin that separates us from God. And God loathes sin. It's repulsive to him. There has to be separation. Sin bans us from the presence of God because God does not allow sinful man in his sight, according to Psalm 5:5, Habakkuk 1:13, and Revelation 21:27. And this is not, only true of the sins of sexual connotation that are normally regarded as repulsive, but it includes forms of disobedience and rebellion as well. In 1 Samuel 15 and Proverbs 15 as well, the Bible talks about that. All sin is not acceptable to God, but those who have been redeemed from sin by the grace through the faith that comes in believing in Jesus Christ can stand in God's presence and be fully confident that we are accepted as in the beloved, meaning we are a part of the family, and we praise him for the grace that has been extended for that purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, 5, and 7 talk about that. So the next issue here is, is the heart of an outcast. So when we've sort of captured a glimpse of the holiness, of the purity of God, we have to exclaim, and proclaim as the prophet Isaiah did, "Woe to me," he said, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Isaiah says, "Woe unto me, I'm unclean." It's not just, this form of leprosy, but we have a form of sin that's just as bad as leprosy because it alienates us from God, it alienates us from one another. And our attitude towards sin in the light of Jesus, our Savior, should echo the words of Peter when he says, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And that's just not the case with Jesus. This man walked up to Jesus and Jesus met him where he was. And another key lesson that we can learn from this leper in Matthew's gospel is that the leper, what he did, we can confidently approach Jesus, in all of our need, with all sin and defilement that we engage in, right? We can go to the Lord and ask. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all righteousness. That is a promise, right? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Our sin has both a cleansing and in a property to it, as well as a forgiveness need, right? And sometimes so does sickness. Jesus walked up to a person who needed to be healed, and he said, "Take heart, your son, your sins are forgiven." And everybody freaked out and said, "Well, you didn't heal him." And he said, "Well, yeah, I did. He needed to be healed from the inside out," which is easier for me to say. Get up, you take your mat and walk, or your sins are forgiven. I have the power to do both. But what was needful at the time was this man's sins needed to be forgiven. So when we plead for cleansing and forgiveness, he's not going to turn us away, right? Hebrews chapter 4:16 and Psalm 103, those are promises that we have. And it doesn't matter where we are right now. I know my home fellowship is filled with people, as we have been sharing, that are just really struggling in their walk right now. I'm not surprised by that. We've had fellowship taken away from us. We've had worship taken away from us. We've had church taken away from us. We've had a lot of things, right, taken from us. And people are starting to feel the physical effects of a spiritual problem. So today's leprosy, let's apply this morning. Today's leprosy, right? The impurity of a leopard is like sin in that it does three things, right? It isolates us from our communities. Sin separates us from God. And sin eventually leads to death, right? Guys, we have a disease in our country right now, and it is not COVID. It is not racism. Not that those things don't exist. They do, and they're serious in nature. However, the thing that is the root cause of the deficiency, the thing is a root cause of the problem, is sin. And number two, we must never forget Jesus's response, right? Jesus's approach to the outcast lepers is in his day was startling when you think about it. I mean, look at how he handled himself. He didn't turn away from them, even though he couldn't touch a leper, according to Leviticus. He couldn't be within 6 feet of that, but he violated that. Why? Because the law didn't make sense. The healing of this man was more important than that law. He didn't clear out of the way. He didn't draw back in horror and disdain. But what did he do? He reached out his hand and he touched the lepers. And instead of this leprosy making Jesus unclean, Jesus's holiness overcame the impurity and made them clean. You guys, the power that Jesus has can get rid of all impurity, physical, moral, and spiritual. And it doesn't matter where we're at right now. That there's a lot of people crying out for, they don't even know what they're crying out for, but it's physical and moral and spiritual impurity. They are distanced from God, and their soul is crying out for that. There is widespread sin in our world right now, widespread sin. And even people's frustrations to the signs of the times and the places that we're at, both in our country as a nation and politics and human rights and everything else, everybody's angry and upset. But guys, at the bottom of that, at the bottom of all these, the root cause of all this is sin. Sin. What does it do? What does it do? It isolates. It separates. And causes death. That's the issue. And we're more concerned about a pandemic that, for the most part, people will get and forget that they ever had it. But sin, no matter what we do, is still isolating. It's still separating. And eventually, it's going to lead to our death. So this morning, I just want to pray a blessing over you. If you're listening online as we just come to a close in our study, I want to just offer you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And if you prayed that prayer today, there's a phone number on our website. Just please give us a call and share with us the decision that you've made so that we may rejoice with you. If you are a regular listener to this particular podcast, these sermons, I want to encourage you, with this. He has shown you, O man and O woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God. Go do that now. God bless you.